Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning, the 29th day of December. Good morning, Georgia! Yeah, that's right, you didn't hear him. He's taking care of something. Eric, you could jump in here for a minute here. We're actually saying goodbye to our guest who came up here and lit this place on fire for an hour. It is. It's like a live wire fell on this building, isn't it?
Yeah.
An exposed wire.
That was a great hour, and our numbers... I saw some of our digital numbers went straight up because I sent out a text message letting everybody know he was in studio. Bang, 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 boom. Started getting those hits. But 9 o'clock. Good morning, Georgia. Where are we going to this morning? This hour.
And we are, it's interesting because we're going to try and reach out to a guest from D.C.
But you got to do your top of the hour.
Well, I'm going to do that in a second, but I was just answering your question. We're going to get that, and we also got D. Orlando Ledbetter. But again, top of the hour, good morning, Georgia! And a good morning to you folks in Tequila. Now, what you got for us for Tequila? Yeah, that's what I thought.
What I have for you for Tequila is that Tequila is the home of the Falcons as well.
Well, okay, you got a point
there. The Tequila High School Falcons. Yes, indeed.
You do have a point there. Everything's got to be, rearranged around here. Everything. Because the man comes in here and we put everything down. We just sort of, like I said, casting call. We're going to put this over here. And Chris comes in like a whirlwind. And we have to recalibrate everything. Now, we had a guest that we were hoping to bring on here right about now, and that would be Chick Hernandez. You want to hit that button? Welcome back, Mr. Crenshaw. Is Mr.
Absolutely.
Hernandez ready for us?
Yeah.
Well, please, by all means, bring him up here. Again, from Washington, D.C., WUSA. Chick Hernandez.
What's up, man?
Good morning, sir. How are you? And thank you for being a part of this. We had our show go off the rails there for a little bit, but in a very, very, very good way. We haven't had, a former player, yes, Chris Draft. He came up.
Okay.
Do you remember him from his D.C. days up there playing with the other Washington named team?
The Redskins, you mean?
Yes.
Listen to him. You, the Redskins, you mean?
Do you remember when Chris Draft was up there?
I have no recollection of Chris Draft.
Well, you're going to have to go back and check the books here and check out.
I mean, how many years ago?
It's been a few.
Been 9, 10? When did he retire? Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that area.
The early 2000s.
Somewhere in that area.
Well, I'm very concussed a lot of times, so it's okay.
Chick, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
Talk about what this year has been like, first of all, for your team. We're going to see everybody. In prime time tonight under the lights, since it's the only game that's be going on this evening. Atlanta will be playing against Washington. But what are your observations from that Washington team from there?
Well, I mean, it's people say how great it is and blah, 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 blah. I've covered this organization for nearly 30 years. And for folks who don't know, I came in after Sam in Augusta way, way, way back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they had typewriters back then.
Yeah, they did.
Uh-oh.
yep. Hey, listen, you asked me to come on, you know you could be in trouble. So this is the way I equate this franchise, is there are adults in the building now. Simple as that. The prior owner, Dan Snyder, was a horse's end. I'll keep it clean for the morning crowd. And when you walked in the building, you'd get a look up and down, and the phrase would be, can I help you? Now when you walk in the building, it's eye contact. It's, hey, chick, man, what's going on? Hey, what do you need? It's that different, Sam. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your partner's name.
That's okay, Greg, but that's
Greg.
All right.
And Greg.
Cool. So adults are running the building, and it is a 180 flip from top to bottom, ownership, GM, head coach, all of it. And, yes, 10 wins, awesome. All of it's great. There's just a different – the word is used so much now, culture, but there literally is a different culture in the building where everybody is paid with respect from players, employees, everything, which was not the case before. And we just knew if there was a shift in that way that football would have to get better, and it has. As I said last week, the football gods finally said – enough is enough with this franchise. We cannot keep pounding them. Let's help them. The Hail Mary, final drive last week, all of it. It's just a whole different thing.
Again, Chick Hernandez joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Okay, just so you know, Chris played for the Redskins in 2010, signed for a one-year contract but was released in August. Didn't play much there. So, but he played. He was here for a while in Atlanta, but also played for the Bears, 49ers.
I got you.
Panthers, one of those guys. But
yeah, I don't. I'm not disrespecting whatsoever. When you get released in August, that means I'm not calling your name.
I understand. We understand. We just want to let you know that he was there. But I do want to ask you about Dan Quinn, because we had him here, and much like what you described, he did change a culture when he came up there. But it was twofold when he got to Washington because of past ownership and the transition that you guys were making. But how is he looked upon right now up in that region and what he's done for this team?
Well, I mean, how's he looked upon? He's looked upon as a savior, which should not be the case, and he'll tell you that's not the case. I get a chance through our partnership with my station to sit down with him every Monday, and we call it Tell the Truth Monday. And, before we did this, I said to him, there are going to be weeks when, it's not pleasant and I'm going to have to ask you the uncomfortable question. He goes, bring it on. I don't, it is what it is. We play like we play. We're not going to lie. Everybody saw it, whatever. So for him, obviously his success in Atlanta and then getting let go and to take those years that he was not a head coach and really just kind of pay attention to what head coaches and other coaches in the league were doing and writing it in a notebook and in a journal and kind of taking those notes in case a second opportunity came. And it came. And it has been a love affair because he is as honest as he can be. And it's just, the message is being heard. And, a lot of coaches, sometimes that message will wane. And who knows? This is year one. We don't know. It's going to be like in year two, three, four, five, whatever. But this message is getting through loud and clear to his players, the people, his coaches. That's the other thing is that, Cliff Kingsbury's been a head coach. And he came in and wants to be a part of this. And it's just a really good marriage of folks. They've kind of hit the lottery with how this is happening. And obviously it's a quick turnaround, but you also have number five in the backfield, and that's a difference maker.
That's where we're going to go to you next, folks. We're spending time this morning on the waitfor.com. I'm with Chick Hernandez out of Washington, D.C., WUSA9. He is social. You can find him on IG at Chick Hernandez, all lowercase, at Chick Hernandez, all lowercase. He is all over everything as far as Washington Commanders and Washington sports in general. Like I said, we both worked out in Augusta. I'm really proud of what this man.
Yeah, we did. You didn't ride a bull like I did you?
No, I rode the horse. Yes. I didn't ride the bull. Yeah. I rode the horse.
This is what we want to hear. We want to hear Sam's stories from you, Chick.
Me. I had left.
No, but he still probably got some stories.
I'll tell you, we're getting off topic. Here we go off the rails. But my first Masters, I called Sam and said, listen, I got Jack Nicklaus coming up, for an interview. What's the key? And he said, I forgot how you phrased it, but it's basically don't ask a dumb question because he will look at you and his steely eyes will burn a hole in your chest. So ask a thoughtful question, which I did about his. He had just started lifting weights and stuff like that at that age, advanced age, and Jack lit up
And we did an 8-minute interview right there off the 18th green. And it was the start of a friendship that I have with the Nicholas family now. So that's the kind of guy that Sam is. But yes, I rode, I competed on cutting horses, but I'm the idiot who got on a bull and ended up bleeding, internal bleeding later. So you're talking to not that bright a guy.
Wow. See, this is stuff you're doing, man.
That's what you do. You set folks up.
No, I don't. I didn't set him up for that. I didn't tell him to do that. Back to what we were talking about. Number five. Okay. Talk about the idea of landing this guy, and what were your expectations when you got him, and now that he's here, and it's a perfect fit, and he's taken to it just like a duck to water.
Yeah, I went to USC's pro day and watched Caleb Williams, DC kid, and I went to LSU and watched Jaden Daniels. We went to UNC and watched Drake May, and it was apparent to me just watching the way that that Jaden was with his teammates. Who his pro day was all about throwing, but he was there early to watch Malik Nabers and the rest of his guys going through this. I think it was like 22 other guys who were working out for the pro scouts, and I watched, because that's what coaches do too. They watch, what are you doing besides holding a football? Like, what are you doing? What's your demeanor and how do folks look at you? And it was apparent from there that he was a leader. And he's just been, I can't even explain it. The throws that he makes and the fact that he is so smart. DQ, Dan Quinn said to me a couple of weeks into the season, he goes, look, rookie minicamp, this dude's in the bubble at 5:30 in the morning. And all of us coaches are like, okay, rookie's trying to impress the coaching staff. And they get like their first day off in 9 days. And DQ's at home and his secretary calls and says, hey, your boy's in the bubble. And DQ's like, what is she talking about? And he's like, what are you talking about? Number five is in the bubble. And he's like, but it's a day off. And she goes, Coach, I'm just telling you, number five's in the bubble working out with Luke McCaffrey. And he texted his coaching staff and said, We got one. Mm. So he's been that dude from the get-go. Very humble, understated. But don't be fooled. There's a huge, an ego underneath, not in a bad way, but he knows that he has all the tools, but he uses his mind to get those tools in the right spot. And it's been fun to watch. I mean, just, so enjoyable. And it's not a me, with so many me athletes out there. You can't get him to go down that road. You can't.
Before we let you go, I'm curious, as we sit here and talk about the rookie quarterback in Washington, you as a sports fan, you as a reporter, what was discussed or what ran through your mind when you heard what the Falcons did during draft day and knowing that Kirk Cousins was here but yet went out and got Michael Penix Jr.?
I was here when I was here in 2012 when they drafted Robert Griffin III and then Kirk Cousins, and we all went, what just happened? So I feel bad for Kirk. Kirk's been on both sides of that. I think it was a smart move. I've known Kirk for a long time. I've gone to his camps in Michigan. He's a nice human, and obviously he can play the game. I mean, that's you can't argue with it. He makes throws sometimes where you just scratch your head and go, what was that? And he'll do that two or three times in a game, but not every game, obviously, because he's put up huge numbers. I like the move. This is on a far lower level. I played high school and junior college quarterback left-handed. I'm nowhere near Michael's size, but when I see a lefty throwing, it's like it's just a different look. And I'm going to tell you right now, Washington historically hasn't done well with I'm using air quotes, backup quarterbacks. Historically, have not done well, especially with somebody that's got that kind of talent where they can fit a ball in. And without Marshawn Lattimore at cornerback for Washington, Benjamin St. Juste, that's a prime target. So I love what they've done, and I'm I think for sure he's the future. And even though he came in and a little older and had banged up legs, you don't see that. He's a guy who loves football. I think you're in good shape for many years to come. I just don't want to see it tonight. This game, by the way, it's 8 hours away. It's actually longer than that. What do y'all got me up this early in the morning for?
Well, we got you up, but you working, getting ready to work on your pregame show, right? What time do you come on the air?
That is true. That is true. 11:30 on Channel 9 here. We'll be at it. They try to convince me to go out to the stadium and do my stuff from there. I'm like, you realize that even the workers aren't awake yet. So let me just do it from the studio. Then I'll come home get a nice little nap, and then go out and do my live shots and cover the game.
There he is. He's
what's
ready
the weather
to go.
Up there like?
Yeah, what's the weather? What are we going to see tonight?
Not pretty. I can't. Well, put it this way. I wouldn't play golf in it, and that's the saying something, because I'm a golf addict. So it is going to be rainy and cold. That's what it's going to be. It's going to start raining for good about 5 o'clock.
Man, we'll watch for that tonight. Chick, always great to hear from you, man. And
appreciate it,
dog. Keep on doing what you're doing. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you.
I'm waiting to hear more Sam stories.
Anytime. All right, man.
I appreciate it. What station were you guys at?
We were at the WRDW in wonderful Augusta, Georgia. Now, we weren't there together. Now, when I left, he got the gig.
He got the job. But you knew him, though, a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah.
All right. Well, we go from Washington to our own Falcons. And, of course, you want to find out what's going on and where how they're going to be prepared for this game. We talked to D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. The man has walk-on music. You got to love that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this, what has turned out to be a very, very fun morning.
How about that?
Been a very fun morning.
Despite the way the light show that we got to see on our way in this morning,
D-Led's
right?
And D-Led's up, he don't know what's going on. Yeah. He's up in D.C. D-Led, we had torrential rains come through the city at 55 miles per hour right when Sam and I were coming. So the first part of the show, we're just trying to get our bearings together. And then who shows up at 8 o'clock? Chris Draft. We kept him here for an hour. And the dude was like he was doing a sermon. He's just preaching the whole time. We love having Chris come on here. Then we just had a guy up in D.C.
And Chick Hernandez on from WUSA there in D.C. He's been there for many years. And now, you know what I mean? Hey.
We had to worry about a HBCU fight between you and Eric because a Morehouse man talking to a Howard man. And yeah,
good
we
morning.
Weren't sure how that was going to go.
Good morning, Brother Ledbetter. How
morning,
you doing?
Good morning, sir.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, guys. Sounds like it's been a busy day thus far.
It really has. And Sam wanted me to ask you right off the rip, where do you go when you go back to D.C. being a Howard grad?
You know that chili joint? What's the name of the place?
Uncle Ben's Chili, yeah, that's the spot. Got a couple spots up in Silver Springs. Uncle Ben's is big. Poet, the Last Poets on 14th Street, that's another fine establishment. Yeah, that was a lot of go-tos up here in the district, just especially around the university.
There we go. So right. He's back on his turf, man.
Okay.
He's back on his turf up there, but there for a special reason. And we appreciate you getting up early with us because usually you're getting ready for the game, but the game is tonight, D-Led. Thoughts about this team? And I saw you posted something. This is the first meaningful game in December the Falcons have had in quite some time.
Yeah, no doubt. Everything's been a half. We win and three teams lose and – you know, and somebody jumps over a hoop here and there, they have a shot ever since the 2017 season. There's been some seasons where, you know, they're done by now. We're looking at the top 10 players in the draft, you know, and going to the tankathon.com site. But this year you can stay on the field and focus on the football and try to see if they can win their way into the playoffs. And, it's up to them at this point. They win these last two games, they're in.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Our last guest gave us a bit of a weather report that's going to be nasty up there tonight, rainy, windy. And I'm wondering, is this possibly a blessing in disguise for Michael Penix? Because, you know, a team got film on him from last week, but this is definitely a running back kind of game. And he won't be asked to do much. And maybe that's the way he should go going into this one.
Yeah, I've been watching the weather. They just said it's going to be heavy rain early, and then but in the 60s, so it's not going to be the cold rain, but still, I don't have to play in it. But yeah, it's definitely a running game. But, you know, the big thing today or yesterday was that Jonathan Allen was activated off of injured reserve, and the people that follow the Commanders know that Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne – you know, they shut down the run together up front. So that's going to affect the game too. You're going to have to hit some passes in the rain, no question about it. They know they want to run. Their run defense is one of the worst in the league. And, you know, if you gash them, you should be able to hit them over the head with some passes too.
That's what we'll watch for in this game tonight. I talked with Chris, and I talked about this, you know, figuring it may be a rainy night tonight, and you've got a quarterback who's just making his second start. How important or how big would it be for number 8 to show up tonight and really do some things to help the young quarterback out? To me, his presence in a positive way could really make a difference in this game.
Yeah, this is an all-hands-on-deck type of deal. You know, you could wipe away the fact that he's only got one or a few catches in six games this year with the big showing with the, season on the line. So, yeah, Kyle Pitts needs to step up. I'd like to see Matt Judon also step up and maybe get some pressure on the quarterback and control some of them RPO runs. A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates will have their hands full with Terry McLaurin. And then you got to put Justin Simmons on the tight end, Zach Ertz. So you got some favorable matchups. You just need to win them. And Kyle Pitts needs to win his. Matt Judon needs to win his. And somehow they got to keep getting pressure on the quarterback.
D-Led, you know Dan Quinn as well as anybody. And when he's going up against a rookie quarterback, he's going to, well, at least from experience, these guys are going to pin their ears back and come at Michael Penix. Is that what we can expect for tonight's game?
Oh, yeah, he's going to come from the back. I mean, you know where he's coming from, too. He's coming from the left side because the guy's left-handed. He can't see. He's going to try to light up McGarry's side of the field with stunts and twists and linebackers, safeties and corners. I'm sure the Falcons know that. They're going to try to get the blocking assignments down, make sure they're sliding to the right side, probably have the quarterback on the move on some rollouts. They know by now, everybody knows what the other team's going to try to do. It's about recognition and execution. And, Falcons will be stressed every time that, they get into those obvious passing situations.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning. Glad he's got time to be with us. Always a treat. It's D. Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com. And he is social. You can always find him at D. Orlando AJC. At D. Orlando AJC. Have not mentioned Bijan Robinson. We talked about the quarterback, but talk about the running game and the two-head monster that we have that works tonight and just how we're going to have to get a little bit more, seemingly, from them in this game. You talked about a formidable front that Washington has. You still got to find some way to establish the run, because the more you can do that, you keep their quarterback on the sideline.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely want to crease the edges in the run game there. They know that, and the Giants even knew that, so they started jumping some of the runs, and Bijan had a few too many negative run plays, so you're going to have to come after that with a counter move to address the over-pursuit. Also look for Coach Zach Robinson to go back to his screen game here, you could throw it out there quick, maybe get some blocks and bust Ray Ray or Darnell Mooney up the field. You know, we used to see them do that with Julio a lot. He had one of his big ones out up here where, you know, Jake Matthews came out and blew up the poor little cornerback. And Julio took it on in. So the screen game will work, and that will get you away from them trying to stack up against the run, too. So it's not only the straight-ahead funk plays you got to come with. You got to be able to come with some counters and counter punches here to keep them off balance.
We'll be watching for those things. Talk about our quarterback and something off the field now. Our quarterback announced his engagement of all the other things he's got going on. Obviously, something I think that was probably in the works before he got the starting job. What a time to add those type things. But you know what? The maturity that he's shown us, I think he takes that in stride and is really not a deal for him. What do you think?
Yeah, good for him. I try not to follow their social media because I'm just worried about the football team and how they're going to play. But if he's happy at home, yeah, he's probably going to play pretty good, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I did see that the Penix family put out there that Michael and Olivia are now engaged. And you know, good for them. I you know, I don't really get into that part of the football, but if he's happy, that probably means he's going to play pretty good for the football team.
Yeah, he don't care nothing about that entertainment
that's
tonight
what we,
stuff.
That's
that,
what he hopes.
And TMZ so. Stuff. He cares about. I want to know about the thoughts on. We've been talking about the offense, been talking about the defense. But it's one of those games where special teams may come into a play.
Yep.
And your thoughts on where the special teams are right now at this juncture,
especially
in the station.
Especially our kicking game.
Yep.
Yeah, state of flux. We saw the kid come in and miss one and make two last week. Riley Patterson, who played at Memphis, he's kicked. That was his. He's over 70 kicks in the NFL, so he's not a rookie or young guy. So. His range isn't as deep as Kuhl's. His lung is 53. I think he was up on that last. I think he might have went to 55 last week. But, yeah, so you're okay in the kicking game. The coverage game is going to be big. And, you know, hey, if you can make a play or two, Avery Williams, you know, that'd be a good time for him to bust a return out. And you certainly can't have Ray Ray drop one like he did up in Minnesota. So, just take care of the ball, and when the points are there to get, go get them.
Yeah, we got some time with you before we wrap things up with you. Greg and I both have been thinking about someone that was that we lost, someone that made an impression as far as sports casting and sports reporting, and Greg Gumbel. I had some encounters with him. I don't know if you had any at all, but just your thoughts about him, because retirement voice for the National Football League, historic play-by-play call of a Super Bowl game. Just thoughts about your memories of him and what do you think his legacy is?
Yeah, I think his legacy is his professionalism. You know, he was always, you know, nice and kind to the up-and-coming folks in the business. My dealings were with him during the NBA days, back in the Jordan days. I was doing the NBA, and, you know, certainly – he's been able to – he was always hired. He was never out of a job.
True,
you know,
true.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And he did it at the highest of levels. He'll be remembered most for his NCAA tournament March Madness stuff, I do believe. But he had range. He had flexibility. He could do all – he could host, do play-by-play, could run the studio. He was one of the great broadcasters of our time.
Yeah.
All right, man. Listen, we appreciate it. Travel safely. Have fun up there in D.C., and hopefully we'll be talking to you soon, D-Led.
Stay dry up there, bro.
Sure, no problem, Greg and Sam. Thanks for having me.
As always, D. Orlando Ledbetter up there in Washington. Yeah, I'd wondered if he had run into him because D-Led is – and, you know, when both of these guys go into the stadium, he's in a whole different area than – you know, Greg Gumbel would be.
Yeah.
But
well,
they
come through the press box sometimes. You know. The network play-by-play guys, you see them, you get to say hello to them. Maybe on the elevator with them on the way up or something.
Yeah. Let's see you and I talk about our thoughts and memories of him and then wrap this thing up. And we haven't seen him in a minute. It's like the gang is back together. Bo Johnson is going to be with you coming up at 10 o'clock, but he's walking around here a little bit. He might want to talk a little baseball. I don't know. Because he has to talk football all show, so maybe we'll ask him a baseball question.
Man.
Anyway, it is Sam and Greg. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning on this 29th day of December. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. I think this dude's name was Kim Wilson. I ain't thought about the Fabulous Thunderbirds in a minute. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Opening act for a full day of sports talk before we turn things over to NFL action. Got Carolina and Tampa Bay. Pre-game at 12:30, kick at 1. Hawks, by the way, are up in Toronto starting off their road trip. That game will be heard on V103. Pre-tip at 5:30, tip at 6. And then the Falcons at Washington tonight. That pregame starts at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Kick at 8:20. And by the way, we'll have tomorrow night's game for you, too, if you can't get in front of a TV. Detroit at San Francisco.
And we'll be back here tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, if we could only get Chris Draft to come in every
you don't have him every day, but
spend an hour,
good.
And we could go like get coffee
like
and all
I
of
said,
that.
Man, no, we had him on, and like I said, my schoolmate, Pastor Barry, down in Hapeville, First Baptist, was texting me and says, man, you guys are great this morning. I'm listening to you all the way into church. I'm listening to your guys. He texted me this morning. So, yeah, man, it's great having him.
He just comes in here and just lifts us up.
But the passion, though, the passion is that. And that's the thing you – and you get that from a lot of players, especially. You get that from him anytime. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys on game day, you know, even when career is done, it's something about this time of season and this time of day on Sunday. They, you know.
Yeah, but we talked to this dude in May sometimes, and he's still fired up like he's ready to hit somebody.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, it hits a little different this time.
Oh, right. He was ready to jump on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
And he figured he can get tickets.
Yeah.
So he is just he's just one of those people who you just like being around.
Yeah, man.
And he has that – he is that it factor, that indescribable trait that makes you just gravitate toward them.
Well, he's done a lot of things, too. I mean, there are a lot of things he's done that we don't even talk about anymore that because of the things that he's done since his playing career.
Here's the thing that I – you know, I mean,
people forget about his incident up at, on the freeway up on I-85.
Well, now that you brought it up, you got to let folks know what you're talking about.
One night he's driving back home after being – he was playing with the Falcons team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was right above – Jimmy Carter, going up 85, a car at Swill, out of control, it hit the middle lane, and solo accident car hitting it. And he went to help this person get out of this car, and gasoline is going, and it's about to catch fire. And he has to make a decision to help rescue this person and possibly jeopardize his health and his career. And Chris goes in and pulls this guy out just before the car gets in the flames. And this is something that happened when he was an active player here with the Falcons.
Now, how much press did that get?
It got some.
It got some, but
the thing about it was the person was intoxicated. Mm-hmm. And it took for the longest time for that person to even have the gumption to call him and say thank you.
Enough said.
But I'm just saying that this – there's all we talk about the things that he's done on the field that people know, but there are other things that.
That's with a lot of people too that are in the public eye. He just did something that needed to be done.
He just did something that needed to be done.
You know what runs through my mind when we see Chris Straff and he's up here talking about his foundation but when he brings up his ex-wife,
his wife.
He lost,
mm-hmm.
and he's still carrying that torch.
Yeah,
that's Coretta Scott King type.
Very much. Very much.
That's who pops into my head.
Yeah.
Hey, keeping the legacy going, keeping the focus
and finding
on
finding a way, right?
You absolutely. Know? Mm-hmm. And to heighten visibility about what that other person, what they meant to them, but also, in Coretta's case, obviously the struggle, but just, when I see him and continuing doing everything with Lung Cancer Society, and have you gotten the pictures from him as he's traveled around the country, and he's got, he's holding on to the white ribbon,
mm-hmm.
and with doctors and surgeons, it's amazing. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Some of my earliest memories turning the TV on in Chicago, and I'm talking pre-high school, talking early memories.
Mm-hmm.
There was this broadcaster named Greg Gumbel on WMAQ Chicago. And that's what ran through my mind these last few days of people have been talking about him, D-Led talking about running into him. And also, I have to remember that while he was more famous, well, that's debatable in some cases, but Bryant was his youngest sibling, mm-hmm. not just younger brother. He had two sisters in between.
Okay.
And, that part of Chicago, that Hyde Park, that near South Side area, his father was a judge. So that,
right.
folk with money, as you like to say. So that was, he was over there where Obama, that area, Jesse was over there, John Johnson, who's the other guy?
Earl Graves
over in that area. So, yeah, that was, it was a very nice part of it. Just, again, that part of Chicago.
But that's the thing, though. But then you come from that area, then you have expectations. There are expectations.
His family did, yeah.
Right, but there are expectations.
But did you?
And so both for he and Bryant, there were expectations while basically knocking down some walls.
Right.
That's the other thing we talk about, breaking down some barriers. When I met him, I met Greg Gumbel at a Hawks game here in Atlanta. He was here in town. He do some NBA work. And it was halftime, and I had a chance to just run into him and speak to him. I told him what I was hoping to do. And he took the time to give me some encouraging words and whatnot. Obviously, I was more familiar with Bryant than I was him,
mm-hmm.
Because Bryant had seen more of the TV route, going from NBC Sports on weekends before the Today Show.
A lot of people forget about that.
Bryant was NBC Sports on the weekend.
KNBC, mm-hmm. which is where he was working when he called the '79 National Championship with Magic and Larry. Okay. He wasn't with Nash. He wasn't with, you know, NBC then. He was out there with KNBC. So, and again, he might have been used on the weekend for that sort of thing.
Right.
He was there as your host for, is that thing still the most viewed national championship college basketball game?
I don't know if it still is, but it was for the longest time. But that, we'll talk about that, though. That becomes Greg Gumbel's thing because, and that's the thing, well, a lot of people knew that he had some health issues. He did not work March
nope.
Madness this year.
No.
And
yeah,
so
right.
that's something that, in the latter stages of his career, that's something he was very synonymous with, was working March Madness. And we hope to get someone. I'm trying to reach out to somebody who's in the studio with CBS to possibly join us the next one of the next two or three mornings to talk a little bit about him. But very versatile. When you think about
anything,
any type of sport you throw him out there in Olympic sport. And like you said, the studio, he could command the studio if you wanted him to be on the scene at the stadium or you want him to call the play-by-play. He was just that versatile guy that was ready to play whatever role that the network had for him. You almost kind of forget about his years with ESPN. He was there during the formative years
right,
of
as,
ESPN,
as an anchor.
When it began, right? They brought credibility to ESPN from the start. So,
he came from that time where you had to wear multiple hats. He came from the Dick Enberg, the Musburgers, those guys who are, you think you know them for one thing. People forget about how much golf Dick Enberg, tennis Dick Enberg called.
Oh, yeah.
You had to put on multiple hats. So if you came through sportscasting and you were about to ascend to that national level, you better be able to do multiple sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he was from that ilk.
In addition to breaking down barriers.
Yes.
In addition to that, and that's the thing I think as we talk about him today and reflect on his life, the magnitude of someone to do it with that level of excellence while also knowing that, hey, I'm going to chip away at some things and I got to do a good job because if I do a good job, some other folk that look like me gonna get a chance. And so that's what I appreciate about him.
What I didn't know, and Hannah Storm in her tribute talked about that also from Oak Park.
Right.
He sold medical. He was selling medical equipment in Detroit.
Yeah.
When his brother called him.
Yeah. He said, you need to go for this. The backstory is
of a lot of people.
Yeah,
you would be surprised.
Yeah.
You really would.
Much.
Sam
very
and Greg,
much.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. I wish I could ask these guys either one of them, but we started talking earlier in the show. And by the way, I would like some credit for something that I did.
Okay.
Because we were having so much fun and we kind of got serious. But we were having fun, and I put my nonsense on the back burner because I'm sure there were people hanging on for that next nugget about a bowling ball.
You think so?
I left way over here.
I think after the stuff we were able to uncover and have fun with this morning, I don't know where the bowling ball went. But
no, we left
if they
that
won't,
alone.
Y'all let us know.
No, we're done with that. I'm done with it.
I'm at Sam Crenshaw 23. He's at Get Cast with Greg.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll be with you tomorrow, 6 until 9.
Yes, we will.
Tuesday and Wednesday, ringing in the new year. And again, just thank
ringing
you for letting us.
Ringing in the new year? That means we're going to have a bell or something around here?
If you'd like.
You know, I'm just saying we're ringing in. Okay.
Listen, long as you get your black-eyed peas, you eat them, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine?
You'll be fine. If you don't like them by themselves, you get some little ham, little chunks of ham, you throw it up in there.
Yeah.
They got some that are already
seasoned.
You got to
have some greens. I got a little greens in there.
That too, but you got to have your black-eyed peas on New Year's, man. It works out that way. What are you expecting to see from this Falcons game tonight?
Oh, my goodness.
Because we haven't given our thoughts on this.
Rain. And sloppy, you know, be how sloppy the conditions would be. But you know, we got to open up the playbook a little bit more. I mean, last week we kept it pretty, I won't say kept it simple, But you want to make sure that the running game and everything was going to work around him, and you didn't get a chance to put, you know, our new quarterback in a place where he has to win the game. He may end up in that situation tonight.
Let's hope that doesn't.
Well, I don't. You know what though? I think he may be ready. You know,
he may be ready, but in conditions that aren't going to be favorable for throwing the ball,
that's all play action.
Let's see what our running game does to help him out.
That's all part of being ready, though, man. That's all part of being ready. This is the National Football League, and this is the guy who's been aiming for this opportunity for a long time, and here it is. We thought it was going to be 2 years down the road, and here it is tonight. And so I think no better time than the future for him. He had a chance to get his feet wet, to get in and get indoctrinated along with the rest of the offense last week. Yeah, we want the running game to go, but we know the Redskins got a strong front for the run game. So if that's going to happen, you got to loosen it up, right? You got to loosen that defense up some so that you can run. You got to let them know you will compete some passes, and you know you can't let the rain deter you from that. So to me, that's the test. Meanwhile, our defense has to continue to do what it has done so far and keep some contain on their quarterback, because if you don't, boy, he's going to
– You got to be a couple touchdowns up in that last few minutes of that fourth quarter, because we have seen this guy bring him – if you just one touchdown
I know.
You can forget about it.
But also, you know, make them down to special teams as well. The Falcons will play well tonight. Uh-huh. They play well in primetime every time this season. So I don't have any reason to doubt that they will not play well tonight. You know, the things are finishing. How do they finish this one?
I want to see what happens, what we all have talked about, and that is that this Washington team with Dan Quinn is going to pin their ears back, and they're going to come at this rookie quarterback and see what he can do.
Bring it.
But then here's the other thing, too, I was thinking about. This is a kind of situation that now Sunday Night Football, you got Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
All right, no quarterbacks there. But if this was Monday Night Football, this would be a time where I would maybe seek out Troy Aikman. And I would say, listen, what do you remember from your second game as a starter, and who'd you guys play, and what was it like? What was that week of preparation like? What was Jimmy telling you to do, and how did you feel when you got in there? Just whatever you could do to tap into his knowledge and what he was thinking during that time, because the upside about this is we know the dude became a Hall of Famer, and that's the guy you want to talk to about game two of your career. And again, that was running through my mind, man. But this is going to be it's going to be a really good watch. I'm looking forward to it. Again, just throughout the day here today, Bo's standing over here right now.
There he is.
We're going to ask him in a second, but I want to let you know that we got Carolina. Bo's going to walk you up and get you ready for Carolina Tampa Bay. He's got Hawks and we have Hawks at Toronto on V103 at 6 o'clock. That tip off happens then. Pregame at 5:30. All before Falcons at Washington tonight. Pregame at 6. Kick 8:20. What's up, man?
What's going on?
How's Juice?
She's great, man. It's the winter. It's been cold. It's been rainy. You know, we've had a few sunny days. Anytime we get sunny in 50s, we try to get out to the park and get some work in. You know, spring's right around the corner, hopefully.
Yep.
Wish I could just go to sleep and wake up with it being warm, man. I can't stand this stuff.
For those who do not know, Juice is Bo's daughter, mm-hmm. Olivia Jean? No, Olivia, what's her say? Did I get it right?
Johnson.
Yeah. No, her... Oh, it's her whole name. Okay, I thought it was her first two names, like her
OJ,
middle name.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, they call her Olivia Johnson, OJ, and so they just call her Juice.
So how's the team changed? Is it pretty much the same group together, or you get some
We expect for it to be. As you know, like, so every spring and fall, we do have evaluations, and we do, you know, pick teams, and I say that very loosely. We try to keep the same team together.
Yeah.
So out of 13 that I had in the fall, probably have, with some girls coming up, you know, because girls will come up from 8U in the spring to 10U where we are now. I'll probably have 10 of the same girls. We try, you know, I think we're actually over at Pinckneyville this spring. We should have enough girls for 3 softball teams in the 10U level, which is a lot, seeing as how 4 years ago we were having to share girls on both age groups. So we've grown it a lot, and we're going to have a lot of girls coming up from the peewee ranks from 8U to 10U. And then we're going to have a pretty solid team like the one that I just coached this past fall. Of girls that have already had one full year of experience in 10 years. It's going to be a lot of fun. Watch out, all you know, Collins Hill, Buford, North Gwinnett. We coming.
Calling names out there.
Yeah,
now both of us spend the next few hours talking mostly football. But since we have them here, take a second, reassure the Braves fans out there, with Max Fried gone, they really shouldn't worry about that much with this staff. They'll come around.
Everything's going to be okay.
All right, you got to let them know why, though.
Everything's going to be okay. Look, I want to see, let's not do the Bryce Elders. If you want to do the Grant Holmes in a spot start, okay. But let's get A.J. Smith-Shawver up here.
Okay.
Let's get maybe Hurston Waldrop up here. Let's give these guys – and they will have their opportunity in spring training.
Yep.
All right, you're going to get Strider back probably May, early May, late April. You know, we got this reigning Cy Young Award winner. Let's get through April, you know, however we can. Let's bring Charlie Morton back for however much money, 15 million, whatever it takes. Okay. Charlie's a good little innings eater there. If you can have Charlie Morton in your fourth or fifth starter position at however old he is, 40,
whatever.
Hell.
Check the paperwork. Sam, we just figured we'd let him stretch his baseball wings here for a little bit, since he's going to be talking football.
Absolutely. Ian Anderson, another name that you're going to be paying attention to in spring training. We're going to be okay, Braves fans. It's going to be all right.
There you go. All right, Sam and I will be with you the next 3 days. Bo Johnson is up here next. Eric, want to thank you for everything that you've done. Have yourself a wonderful day. Stay dry out there. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app.